Welcome back. In the second session of the industry analysis. Well, in the second session of the industry analysis, we are going to apply the industry structure framework to the real world case. And also, we are going to find out any unique, you know, market position in a given industry. Okay. Finding market position in a given industry is also very important, and this session will be very helpful for you as an entrepreneur. Okay, Michael Porter said it again. He said, strategy can be viewed as building defense against the competitive forces or as finding a position in an industry where the forces are weakest. Okay, again, once the industry structure is established, then the relationship is surprisingly sticky. So as an individual company, it is almost impossible to change the, you know, given relationship in a given industry. Okay, only thing that you can do as a startup is to find out some kind of very unique position in a given industry where the forces are weakest. Then you can gain a competitive advantage. So although you are in the declining or not profitable industry, if you are able to find out the unique position, then you can gain competitive advantage, right? This is what we can do as a startups. Okay, let's look at the early personal computer industry together. You know, personal computer industry was dynamic and fast-growing businesses, right? Personal computer industry just started from, you know, late 1970s. And then this industry grew dramatically. Okay, this graph illustrates the personal computer market size in 1982 to 1998. As you can see in the graph, and you feel that, wow, the industry itself grew dramatically, right? This yellow line represents worldwide personal computer market and personal computer industry, and the blue line, you know, illustrates the US alone personal computer industry. But by early 1980s, personal computer industry was chaos without any market standard. There's no standard, and different companies produced different types of, you know, personal computer. And there are a bunch of different types of personal computer out there in the market, in the industry. Look at these pictures. Okay, the first picture is Altair 8800. Okay, Altair 8800 is a kind of first personal computer, okay, developed it and invented by Ed Roberts. And Ed Roberts can be considered as father of the personal computer, okay. He founded the company MITS. MITS has nothing to do with MIT University, but anyway, he established MITS as a company, and then he produces some kind of DIY toolkit of the personal computer. It looks machine, you know. Not too many people understand what it is, but only few hobbyists understand, and they were enthusiastic on the personal computer. Okay. One of them is Bill Gates. Okay. Bill Gates was passionate about personal computer. So he tried to develop some, you know, the running software for the Altair 8800. So when he see the news of the Altair 8800 through the magazine, computer magazine at Harvard University, then he quit his study and he went to the Albuquerque, New Mexico, where the MITS located. So he started his company, Microsoft, to supply the software to the Altair 8800. So the Ed Roberts, which is who is the founder of Altair 8800, you know, later became the medical doctor. Well, it's a very interesting career path. Anyway, so look at the picture in the middle. This is Apple II, which is a best-selling computer in the early personal computer industry. You know who made Apple II? Yes, of course, Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak made Apple One and Apple Two. Okay, basically, they made the first Apple One personal computer in, you know, Steve Jobs' mom's garage. And he, you know, he asked his friends to assemble 50 of them. And then they sold, you know, first Apple One computer to the nearby computer stores. Okay, this is the start of the Apple computers. Okay, this is Apple II. Later, they raised outside, you know, venture capital fund. Then they assembled, you know, the Apple II. So they sold a lot of Apple II, you know, computer. And thanks to the success of Apple II, the Apple computer went to IPO within kind of 4 years or 5 years later. Okay. Then the last picture is IBM 5150. Well, traditionally, IBM was a computer company, but their computers is not personal usage computer. Their computers were the workstation computers. Workstation computer means it's a very big computer for, not for the individual, but for the company, but for the university. So at that time, you know, each university has one or two workstation computers. Okay, think about it, really big. And IBM, you know, acquired tons of the market share out of those types of industry. So the IBM was a computer company, but IBM did not consider personal usage the computers. But IBM feel that, wait a minute, there are many personal computer companies out there. And Apple, for example, already started the personal computer industry and they dominated. They dominated the market share, okay? So it's kind of late for us to jump in this market. So we should be in a hurry. So IBM, you know, because they have a technology, they have a team, they have money, they quickly made a team for the personal computer market. So they developed the new types of the personal computer very quickly. So this is the IBM's kind of first personal computer, okay, which is the IBM 5150. So the IBM 5150 adopted MS-DOS as an operating system and also adopted Intel microprocessor as a main chip, okay? Well, this IBM 5150 achieved huge success. I will explain more detail about it. You know, this is IBM 5150. IBM launched this personal computer in 1981. And it target 240,000 units sold within 5 years. But the result was it sold out within 1 week. It means that there are so many consumers already wait for the IBM 5150. It was a jackpot. It was a huge success. Okay. And then 1 year later, you know, Time magazine covered this story. Okay. This story. And then they said that this is the machine of the year. Okay, it's for the first time Time magazine, you know, announced the machine on the cover story. Okay. However, think about it. PC makers come to suffer from low profitability. Although the market was growing dramatically, the computer makers suffer from, you know, low profitability. Isn't it interesting? So why is this happening? So the first reason was because of the huge success of IBM 5150, there are huge demand of similar computer. Okay. I need IBM types of computer. Why? Why? Because of the compatibility. What do you mean by compatibility? Have you heard the name of the compatibility, the term? Okay, compatibility means, you know, we are able to do the job on the certain computer. Then later, we should be able to proceed this task on a different computer. Okay, this is called as compatibility. In order to achieve the compatibility, both the computers have the same kind of softwares. Okay, same software, right? And right now we have compatible computers out there, okay? there's no problem for us to work in a different computers. Okay, but at that time, again, the different computer have different system, different software, different structure. So that's why not too many computers can have compatibility. But after IBM 5150's success, consumers need compatibility. Okay, so they need particular types of computer, which is IBM computer. But again, IBM cannot make a ton, cannot make endless computers. Okay, they have fixed amount of the capacity. So in the market, there's a shortage of the IBM computers. Then again, so many other computers company try to copy IBM computers. We say it is IBM clones, which is a copycat companies, copycat computers of IBM PCs. Okay, they basically perform same, but they run the most of the same software, same programs as IBM models, but at far less cost. Okay, look at this picture. This machine is kind of a first portable computer machine, okay, developed by Compaq. Okay, so we say it is a Wintel standard. Consumer need Wintel standard in order to achieve the compatibility. Again, compatibility, for the compatibility, computers have same structure, same system. Okay, the most important component that make a computer is compatible, there are the Intel microprocessor and there are Microsoft, the operating system. So we need to have same microprocessor and same operating system. It is called as Wintel standard, Windows and Intel standard. Due to the shortage of IBM PC, consumers, started purchasing IBM clones. Okay, this graph illustrates the growth of the IBM PCs and IBM clones. Okay, let's apply the Porter's five forces analysis into the PC industries. What about the current competitors? Okay, current competitors. Consumers need compatibility, as I already mentioned that. And then, if they need the same computers, then there could be lack of differentiation. Okay? If there's a lack of differentiation, no different computers out there, then computer makers can only fight in the prices. Okay? We say this is a kind of a chicken game. Okay, they engage in chicken game. In other words, there's a fierce competition in price. Right? So inside the competitors, among the competitors, they fight each other in price only. And industry grow rapidly. It means component prices decline very fast. Okay. There are many chips, there are many components inside the computers, but these chips are getting old very quickly. So the prices is going down. Right? It means computers can be perishable, like a vegetable and fruit. Think about if you deal with the perishable products, such as vegetable fruit, then your strategy is to sell very quickly. Okay? If you cannot sell your product, then you should raise down your prices. You know what I mean? Because your product is a perishable product. So in this case, there's a fierce competition in price because each PC makers raise down the prices to sell their product very quickly. So overall, the competitors' power is really high. Competitors are very dreadful. Okay, fierce competition exists. Another one, what about the future competitors? Okay, everybody can make a computers, very easy. So the capital cost of the manufacturing of the computers, very low. Think about the Dell, Michael Dell. We are going to talk about Dell case later today. But, Dell started assembling the computers at his dorm room. Okay. So as long as you have relevant chips, relevant software, then you can make your own computers. You know, in Korea 1980s, in the Yongsan area, there are tons of small computer makers. And they assembled the component, you know, over there by themselves very quickly, right? And also, so many computer makers try to jump in this market. And for example, the Chinese factory in Asia, Chinese factory try to make their own, you know, computers. Same thing happened to Korea. There are many Korean computer makers, right? And most inputs are available, perfectly available. So, you know, the future competitors can join this industry very easy. So, look at the market share from 1980s to 1989, okay? Well, in the 1980s, before the IBM entered this industry, Apple gained around 30% of the market share. And AST, Tandy, you know, acquired around 40% of market share. And other computer companies got around 30% of market share. But 3 years later, what happened? You know, after IBM jumped in this industry, IBM acquired around 40% of the market share, and Apple's market share decreased to 20%, and other companies' market share increased to 33%. Then 4 years later, Apple's market share decreased again, and IBM's market share also decreased. On the other hand, other companies, which is new entrants, okay, new competitors, others' market shares increased 48%. 2 years later, 1989, then others' market share increased to 60%. Okay, it is all because of the IBM clones and consumers' need of the compatibility and easy to jump in this market. Okay, so what about the threat of new entrants, threat of future competitors? You know, I think it's kind of moderate or high, right? Well, what about the consumers? Okay, consumers need what? Consumers need Wintel standard. You know, if they need particular functions, Wintel standard, then they don't have any, you know, high level of switching cost over the particular brand. Low switching cost. Low switching cost mean they are always, you know, able to change their brand. Okay? As long as the particular computer follow the Wintel standard, they can choose these computers. For them, PCs are same. Okay? So again, the low switching cost. For them, PCs are also very expensive. Okay? It's very expensive. And it accounts for huge portion from, you know, their incomes. So, we say these types of product is a high involvement product. Okay, high involvement product. You know, if you deal with a consumer who can purchase a high involved product, then you should be very careful because consumers are very sensitive, right? So the consumer's threat probably high over you, right? They have more power over you because they don't have any sticky brand and they really care for their prices, you know, because it is very expensive, which is a high involvement product, right? And they are all well-educated, you know, consumers in terms of the computers, okay? So dealing with those types of consumers, it is not easy, right? Okay, let's move on. Suppliers. Well, consumers need for the compatibility, which is the Wintel standard. So they particularly need Intel microprocessor and the Microsoft Windows, you know, operating system. So who are major suppliers for the PC makers? Yes, of course, Intel and Microsoft, right? And, you know, for the PC makers' point of view, it is not easy to switch the suppliers, to switch the you know, to switch Intel, to switch Microsoft. Why? Because it's consumers' need. And there's only one company to produce Intel microprocessor, only Intel. There's only one company to produce, you know, the Windows operating system. It's Microsoft. Okay. So the major suppliers such as Intel and Microsoft dominate this market. So we say the power of suppliers is very high, very high. Okay. In particular, those two suppliers. So look at this graph. You know, the blue bar represents Intel's profit margin and the red bar represents Microsoft's profit margin. In 1999, Microsoft enjoyed around 40% of the market share and Intel at the same time around more than 25% of the market share. So they enjoyed above normal profit, you know, given such a poor performing industries, which is the PC industry. Although the other PC makers suffer from lack of the profitability, but the suppliers, okay, Intel and Microsoft enjoyed, you know, above normal profits because of the their power, okay? Substitute, this is the last one. Okay, at that time, the network PC is rising and there's a workstation PCs, but, you know, substitute power is not very high. It's kind of middle. Right? So, we can analyze, you know, the early PC market, PC industry based on Porter's 5-4-6 analysis. So, let's evaluate again. Current rivals, very high. What about future rivals? Future rivals is middle or high. Consumers power, yes, high. Suppliers power, very high. Substitute power is kind of middle. Then we can make this sentence, this word, to the numbers from 1 to 5. And the current rivals, yes, mark 5. And future rivals mark around 3.5. And the consumers mark 4. And suppliers mark, yes, of course, mark 5. And substitute mark is kind of middle, so plus 3. So put together how much? Okay, 9, 12... 17, wow, 20.5 out of 25. 20.5, you know, what do you mean by that? You know, outside five forces have 20.5 score out of 25. Again, the more powerful the forces, the less attractive for you. Okay? Is the big number or small number, 20.5 score out of 25, which is huge numbers. It means, you know, five forces, you know, in the computer industry, five forces have, you know, big numbers. It means this industry is not attractive to you, right? So we can confirm that why the PC makers suffer from the lack of the profitability. It is all because of powerful forces. Okay. I want to introduce Michael Dell. Okay, Dell. Have you heard about the Dell computer? Right? Dell computer started as a computer company, you know, in 1980s. As a freshman, I mean, college dropout, he started this company, well, actually the nearby University of Texas. Well, before then, he was a pre-med student in the University of Texas, Austin, and he lived in the dormitory, Dobby Hall. And over there, right, over there, he didn't study at all. Instead, he assembled the computer. And, you know, basically, he took order from his friend. And you know, he personalized his friend's computers, right? So he made a lot of money. So he started his businesses. Well, Dell was very successful because Dell has grown at over 55% or 60% every year in revenue and net income, respectively from 1987 to 1997. Think about the blue bar represent the gross ratio of the Dell. Dell achieved at least 50% every year. They grew 50% every year. But what about the other computer company? Well, the yellow I mean, the orange bar represent Apple. You know, 1996, 1997, Apple shrinked, Apple declined. Okay, not too many people believe that. But around that time, you know, we are worried about the Apple's bankruptcy, right? 1996, 1997. And what about the other computers? IBM, you know, 1993, IBM did not grow. 1994, IBM grew a little bit. So think about the other computer makers. You know, computer makers suffer from lack of the profitability and they don't grow. Only Dell grew dramatically. Only Dell. So we need to find out the key secret, you know, how it is happening for the Dell computer. Dell became later the world's largest PC makers, PC producers. Dell thrived in the PC industry again. And this is the stock market prices of the Dell computer. And when Dell went to IPO, then the Dell stock prices, you know, increased sharp, okay? Well, I prepared for the short video clip to explain the Dell's history. Okay, please take a look at the video together before we proceed the lecture. Okay, let's take a video together. Okay, what do you think of the Dell's history? Isn't it interesting? So you understand how Dell, you know, run his own businesses. And how did the company in a given industry? You know, I want to summarize, you know, Dell's history and Dell's approach and Dell's strategy in a given poor performing industry, which is the PC industry. Right, okay, so Michael Dell said, the idea was to sell computers directly to the end users without the markup of dealers. So it means we don't have dealers. Dealer means, you know, big stores. Okay, we don't have big stores. We do not contract with the big stores. Okay, and also we don't have a high level of inventory. Okay, we keep very low level of inventory, and also we provide high level of service. Okay, these are differentiators. Okay, these are differentiators of the Dell computer. You know, look at the traditional computer purchasing, you know, experience. Think about it. Personal computer. When we think about the personal computer, we think about, you know, the computers at home, right? We need a personal computer at home. My house, we have one or two personal computers. Okay? This is the picture. This is a typical picture. The people use the computer at home, right? So when we need a personal computer, then where do you go to purchase a personal computer? Yes, of course, you should stop by the specialized stores or big discount stores, such as Costco or such as Best Buy or such as Walmart. Okay, you stop by Walmart or Best Buy in order to purchase a computer. And of course, over there are a lot of computers and, you know, the employees. Probably employees will explain, you know, the very detail about each computers. Okay. Then where these big box retailers or Best Buy or Walmart get the computers? Yes, of course, computer makers. Computer makers have a factory and computer makers have employees and they have raw materials. Okay. So they assemble the computer in their factory. Then later, they ship their finished computer to the Best Buy or Walmart as dealers. We say it's the dealers. Okay. So the computer makers just contact with the dealers or stores. And then they just shake hands. Then they don't care the end users. End users like us just meet, you know, employees of the stores, right? Because the stores, you know, take care of everything, okay? Take care of selling, okay, service, something like that. So the Best Buy will sell the computer to the end users, right? This is the typical process of computer purchasing. But Michael Dell thought differently. Okay, wait a minute. This is the personal computer for just home, okay? It is a home personal computer. Yes, it is a home market. Okay, so far we just focused on home personal computer market. But in a PC industry, there are kind of additional market can be exist. Okay, additional place that need the personal computer, additional place beyond the home. Think about where it is. Where it is? Where need the personal computer beyond the home? Yes, of course, the companies. Yes, right inside the companies, there are tons of the personal computers. We work at the personal computers, right? Each, every single household need just one or two computers, but each company need 5,000, 10,000 computers. Okay, they need 5,000, 10,000 PCs, right? This is an additional market. This is another market, which is an enterprise market, right? And also, what other places need personal computer? What other places? Yes, of course, university, right? Inside the university, how many computers we need? You know, in Hanyang University, how many computers we have, right? We have a lot of departments. We have a lot of professors. We have a lot of, you know, students. And also, we have a computer lab and computer classes, right? And we have a classroom with many computers. So, how many computers we need in each university? So, this is the university market, right? Okay. There are different markets in a given personal computer industry. And what else? What kind of other, you know, other place that they need, you know, personal computer? Yes, government, right? The Department of Labor or Pentagon in America. So many people work there. You know, the world, so many computers we need, right? This computer would be the personal computers. So this is a government market. So the Michael Dell did not focus on home PC market. Instead, he identified three big consumer segments. The first one, enterprise consumer segment. Second one, university consumer segment. Third one is government consumer segment. Okay. So Michael Dell tried to send out, you know, his sage person to each segment. For example, you know, enterprise market, you know, the Dell sent out, you know, his sales person to GE. Okay, GE Manhattan. Okay, hey, GE, you need computers. How many computers do you need? What kind of functions do you need? Okay. You know, what about your, the kind of sound or graphic important for you? Then we can provide some kind of relevant chip, relevant, you know, types of the computer for you. Do you need, you know, kind of wide screen? Yes, we can provide wide screen for you, right? So, let's make a contract with us. Then GE, you know, orders kind of 10,000 PCs to their computers. So the Dell computer, once they received the order from the GE, then they started making the computer for only GE. It is a personalized computer for GE. And then, you know, what about university? You know, Dell sent out the, you know, sales person to the Harvard University. Hey, Harvard University, you have many departments, and what kind of a computer you need? Yes, of course, you are kind of a scientific, you know, the university, so probably you need to have a high level of capacity to analyze your data, so we can provide those types of computer for you. How many computers you need? Well, Harvard University said, well, we need at least 8,000 of them. So yes, we can make 8,000 computer for you. So once that computer received the order from the GE, they started making take order from the Harvard University. They started making the Harvard University types computer, highly personalized, you know, computer for the Harvard University. Same thing happened to the government, right? So the in this case, Dell doesn't need, you know, dealers, because they can deliver the computer directly from factory to the company, to the university, to the government side. So they eliminated the middleman. Instead, they deliver the computer from the factory directly to the end users, okay, which is a three big segment. Then later, you know, Dell established the website and started taking order from the home PC markets. Then they tried to deliver the computers from the factory to the each household. Okay. This is a key secret, you know, how Dell was successful in a given poor performing industry. So key idea to the Dell computer was to approach different market among the same PC industry. Okay. Dell identified that there are two different types of industry. You know, I mean, two different types of market. I'm sorry. You know, so far we discussed about the industry. Again, industry refers to the group of company, you know, producing similar or substitute product and services. But what about market? Market is a kind of the group of consumers. Okay, in a single and same industry, there are different types of, you know, the market exist, like a home PC market, enterprise PC market, university PC market, and the government PC market, like this. So Dell identified there are two different types of PC market exist. Okay, he simplified two different types of the PC market. The first one is PC markets for enterprises, PC market for university, PC market for the government. And on the other side was a traditional PC market for home, right? And then PC market for enterprises, there are IBM. PC market for home, there are Apple. And then Compaq in the middle. And then Dell position itself as a PC for enterprises, like this. Okay, very similar to the IBM. And then what is the difference between Dell and IBM? Okay, so we can draw the y-axis. Okay, y-axis, we say it is a personalization. Okay, there are high personalized PCs and low personalized PC. Dell focused on high personalized PC. Okay, so the Harvard University specific PC, GE specific PC, and the Department of Labor specific PC. And they try to make their own personalized PC. IBM just provides a standard PC, regardless of their need, regardless of their types of company, their types of organization. So we can position these companies again based on the graph. So the Apple position itself, you know, PC for home and highly personalized area. On the other hand, IBM position itself as a PC for enterprise and standardized. On the other hand, Dell, you know, locate itself in the PC for enterprise area and highly personalized. Okay, so that's why Dell achieved very unique position in a given PC industry. So why it is important? You know, this unique position heavily shaped the existing industry structure. I will show you. You know, this is the traditional industry structure for PC makers. Of course, you know, most of the forces have more power over PC makers, but the Dell's unique position changed this relationship. For example, Dell, you know, we can assess the relationship between Dell and current competitors. You know, current competitors just focused on home PC market, but they started focusing on different market. So in a different market, in an enterprise market, and in a university market, and in a government market, and there are not too many PC makers over there. So the current competitors' power is relatively low, right? It's a relatively low, middle or low. What about future competitors? You know, in a traditional PC market for home, you know, the future competitors easily join this market, but this is not the PC market for home. This is a PC market for enterprise, PC market for university. So Dell started this market and Dell initiated this market. So by making strong relationship between Dell and the enterprise consumers and university consumers. So, you know, penetrating the already existing, you know, network, already existing relationship, it's not easy. So it is kind of, you know, there's a strong relationship between, you know, the consumers served as entry barrier. So not too many the future competitors, you know, can join this market easily. So we say, you know, future rivals' power will be low. What about consumers, right? So the Dell provides a personalized PC for the each consumers. So in this case, the situation changes. You know, in a normal market, you know, consumer has power over the PC makers because consumer don't have any switching cost of a particular brand. But right now, in a GE and in a Harvard University, the situation changed, right? Because only Dell can provide a personalized computer for us. So in this case, who has a power? Yes, of course, Dell has a power, you know, over the consumer. So the consumer's power relatively low, right? So the from high to middle. What about suppliers? Yes, probably Dell should get the Intel microprocessor, and also Dell should adopt the, you know, Microsoft Windows program as operating system. Yes, the situation same, but Dell's consumers are not just individual home market. Dell's consumers are big company or big university. So Dell has a bargaining power, okay? Bargaining power over suppliers. Hey, Microsoft, we have a lot of consumers. We have big consumers, okay? We cannot make consumers disappointed. And also we have bargaining power. So please cut the prices and please deliver fast. Okay, so please make our order priority. So in this case, you know, supplier power is kind of decreased dramatically. So the supplier power can be middle or kind of high. And substitute, and there is not too many substitute over there. So substitute power would be middle. So we can make those, you know, those words to the numbers. So we can make a number. Do you remember the traditional, you know, PC market, PC industries? 546 number, you know, that was the 20.5 out of 25. Okay, let's calculate Dell's 546 numbers. Okay, what about 5.5 and 8.5, 10.5? Yes, around 14, right? Think about it, 14 out of 25. Okay, less than half. Okay, you know, a little bit half. And compared to the traditional 546, traditional 546 have 20.5. And we have how much, you know, 14, right? 14 out of 25, 20.5. So, you know, Dell's 546 has less numbers, okay, less powerful. The rule of thumb is the more powerful the forces, the less attractive to you. In other words, the less powerful forces, the more attractive to you. So in this case, Dell's 546 has less powerful, right? It is all because of Dell's unique position. So, as a startup, you know, when you decide to enter a certain kind of industry, then first thing to do, you need to analyze the industry's attractiveness based on Porter's 546. Okay, you can easily assess the relationship, right? Then later, you need to find out the unique position in a given industry. Although you assess your industry and you got huge number, then, you know, do not be panicked, okay? Do not be panicked. Then you need to find out any unique position available out there, like Dell, okay? Then, you know, once you know, if you find out unique position, then you have incentive to join the market, and you can have a you know, competitive advantage in a given poor performing industry, okay? This is what the startup founders, you know, should do, you know, in terms of the industry analysis and market analysis. Thank you for listening.